Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to True Crime Time for Tuesday, November the 12th. And I'm Woody Overton.
I'm Cindy Overton.
And we're back in the saddle again on Taco Tuesday.
Yes, right? And oh my goodness, my husband loves some tacos.
Anybody in the world eats more tacos than me.
You know.
Well, maybe in the southern hemisphere. In this area of the state of Louisiana,
no,
eats more tacos than I love me a taco.
You would want me to make tacos every single night. And when I make a meat, I often think, could he turn this into a taco if there's leftovers?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure I can.
Sure you do.
Taco Tuesday.
Well, surprise, we're probably having tacos for dinner tonight.
Well, hey, nothing wrong with a taco, so. But we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for liking and listening and sharing and all that good podcaster shit. And let's get down to
True Crime Time for
Tuesday. Ladies first.
All right. So this story hit me because when I was getting my teacher certification, you know, I graduated college in 1993. Mm-hmm. And with a double major in psych and English. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward to 2018?
I think it was before. You went back and got your certification.
I decided to either become an attorney or become a teacher when my dad was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Right.
And I had to take all the praxis tests. And I'm not ashamed to say there was, you know, a couple tests that I had to redo. I didn't pass them. And it was stressful. And I was, you know, my daddy was in Texas and I was, you know, hadn't been in school for so many years. And I had to, it was math that I was having a problem with. But what never occurred to me was to have someone else take the test for me to pass
it. Yeah. That'd be like people cheat on their SATs. Uh-huh. Or whatever it is.
Right. So there's a coach in Houston. Houston Independent School District has been identified as the kingpin in a teacher certification cheating scheme that allowed at least 200 unqualified teachers to work in local school districts.
Uh-oh.
Well, according to my calculations, based off of the money that he made, it's been more like 436 people.
Wow.
So, Vincent Grayson.
You can't do anything with 436 people and think you're not going to get busted.
Right?
Right. Loose lips and ships.
So, Vincent Grayson, 57, heads boys basketball at Booker T. Washington High School in Houston ISD. And he has for nearly 20 years. Hmm. And he was charged as the organizer of the teaching scheme. Mike Levine, a felony chief in the DA's office, Public Corruption Division, estimated that the ring's kingpin had grossed more than $1 million from the scheme.
That is paid.
So Grayson actually says he made $1,090,000.
Tax-free.
Yeah. Earlier this year, Grayson was nominated for High School Coach of the Year at the Houston Sports Awards.
Then, sugar turned the shit.
That's right. He was described to have had an impact on the basketball court at Booker T. Washington High School, and he led the team for their first ever UIL state tournament. Mm. And so UIL, I heard all the time in Texas, and it's essentially the same as what we have here, the Louisiana High School Athletic Association. Right. And so he led them to their first state tournament and made a significant milestone for the school. Levine said candidates would pay Grayson usually $2,500 and making $1,090,000 that divides into 436, which is more than the 200, more than double what they're estimating, right? He then would forward roughly 20% of that money to Guilford Mason for her willingness to allow the cheating to occur.
Okay. So he had a partner in crime.
He had a couple. The candidate would then reportedly be instructed by Grayson where and when exactly to test. They would come, show ID, sign in, and leave, Levine stated. A few minutes later, Nicholas Newton, the proxy tester, would sit in their seat and take and pass the test they felt that they could not.
And he took a lot of tests.
And obviously knew exactly what answer. Right, yeah. I mean, he was probably like A, B, C. He probably knew that test, right. Like took him whatever. So there are a few suspects charged in the scheme, and that is Vincent Grayson, Tywana Guilford Mason, Nicholas Newton, which is an assistant principal at Booker T. Washington School, and Darian Nicole Wilhit, whatever, he is another proctor, and LaShonda Roberts, which is another assistant principal of a high school in Houston.
And they were all getting paid until their
sugar turned to shit.
Fuck them. Can you imagine that your kids are going, you send them in good faith to Booker T. Washington or wherever, and thinking that they're going to get a good education.
Yeah.
And they get in a local crackhead off the street. Anybody that has $2,500 can become a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck college, fuck everything, give me $2,500 and you can teach your kids.
Yeah.
You pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So their sugar turned to shit for real, right?
Yep.
Man. All kinds to make the world go round. And speaking of world going round, let's do a
worldwide crime.
Y'all, this is crazy. This is crazy, crazy, crazy. And then, so in a case that has deeply shocked Rwanda, Dennis Kazunga, a 34-year-old man, has pled guilty to a series of gruesome crimes, including the murder of 12 women and 2 men.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
His horrific actions were discovered after police found multiple bodies. Where do you think they found them? You'd never get this.
In a swimming pool.
Nope. They were buried in the kitchen of his rented home.
What?
And, KICKIRO, which is a suburb of Kigali, right? So, anyway, Kazunga's crimes came to light when he was evicted, right? So, you got all these bodies buried, you can get yourself fucking evicted. He was evicted from his home for defaulting on rent payments. And his landlord's report, basically, he was like, holy fuck, it's a call of the police visits. And during which Kazunga's excessive crime and apologies raised suspicions. Now, at the police station, he confessed to the murders, which led to an investigation by the Rwanda Investigation Bureau. Now, Kazunga, who had previously worked as a teacher, lured his victims, mostly sex workers, to his home. Then he robbed, strangled, and buried them in a hole he dug in his kitchen. What the fuck is that, dirt floors?
Yeah.
Maybe so, I don't know. But 2 of the victims' remains were dissolved and have not been found. Oh, yeah. So, in court, Kazunga, who was representing himself, figure that out, remained calm as he pled guilty. He tried to justify his actions by saying his victims had infected him with AIDS.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't provide any evidence of that. And despite his request for closed proceedings, the court said, fuck that. We're going to do it in the public, right? And a woman in the courtroom cried out for her child, who she said was one of the victims. Now, Kazunga faced multiple charges, including murder, rape, forgery, and desecration of human corpses. And he pled guilty to all charges and was sentenced to life in prison, right? And they sentenced him, but he wasn't present for the sentencing. So, yeah, there's a whole lot more to the story, you know, but that dude is really fucked.
How did every single one of them infect him with AIDS? It takes one person.
I mean, dude's got to say something, right? But then burying the bodies and putting them in a hole in the kitchen, not what our friends at Louisiana Funeral Services would do, Roy and Kristen, and y'all, they have Louisiana Funeral Services. And it's also the only place in the state of Louisiana you can get an independent autopsy done. But I've been there. They have a beautiful chapel. They're best people. All the people that work there were just great. It's a big facility. They also have Louisiana Pet Crematory. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of you lifers have used them for that. And they're just such good, caring people. And you can go check them out at lapetcrematory.com or lafuneralservices.com. Underneath that giant American flag in Broussard, Louisiana. And you know what their tagline is, Cindy?
Rest easy.
We love y'all, Roy, Christy, and Chris. So there you go. That was definitely a
worldwide crime.
Yes.
All right, Cindy.
And they have more respect for afterlife than most people have respect for life, right?
Absolutely. They're so good with the families and everything else. We love them.
All right, so I always don't like these stories at all. It's just, it's an epidemic.
You can quit anytime you want.
No, because it needs to be, the stories need to be told. It's true crime time, right?
Yeah.
Like we need to tell these stories to hopefully.
I'm sure there's, other than some serial killers and really bad people out there, evil people, most people don't like the content of the stories, but the true crime fans like to hear about it, but they don't like what happened.
Right. Well, I just hope that people get help, right? So, Tesha Florence.
Then you'd be out of a job. If there was no crime, we wouldn't be behind a microphone.
No, like mothers killing their kids.
I know, baby, I'm joking.
No, I understand what you're saying. I was going to say, keep robbing. I don't want to be out of a job. I'm just saying, we don't have to kill our kids. That's the hard part.
You don't have to kill anybody.
Well, you don't have to kill anybody, but my goodness. Tesha Florence, who's 46, called 911 Wednesday morning, October 9th, to report that she shot her son.
Oh, fuck. Another one.
And police reported to the scene and found 16-year-old Robert Florence with a single gunshot wound. And Robert was rushed to the hospital in extremely critical condition, and he succumbed to his injuries on Friday the 11th. On the day of the shooting, his mother was booked in jail at 4:34 p.m. and charged with two counts of aggravated assault and one count of aggravated battery with $1 million professional surety bond set on the battery charged. I've never heard that terminology.
You get out and if you violate the conditions of your bond, then like these insurance companies, like a bail bondsman. If you run like a little bitch and you don't show up for court, they have to pay the money that for the bonds. The surety bond is just saying that somebody's got to pay if you fuck it up.
Okay. She was also charged with second degree murder. So this is a tragic accident that has forever changed a family. Gun violence affects our entire community and cannot be tolerated, Chief Joe Sullivan said. Robert's older brother, Curtis, who is 20, said Robert was just someone you could trust. He kept it genuine at all times. He was always able to point you to the truth, and people lie a lot of times, but he could see through all of that. And Curtis added that his brother was a force within his community and a very loving and caring young man. So Curtis also goes on to explain that his family had struggled financially for years and they had one car. And his mom, who previously worked as a certified nursing assistant and raised her four sons, was a single mom. And she struggled financially for the last few years and eventually took an overnight factory job paying $10 an hour.
Wow. You got to make ends meet.
That's right. So with just one car for the family, the 20-year-old said that he regularly drove his girlfriend to work, then took his brothers to school before dropping his mother off at the factory and going to his own job. Often with long, expensive commutes to school, Robert arrived late to school often, and his grades were slipping and his attendance was slipping, and which made him not be able to play like varsity basketball
right.
And this was his junior year and he was good at it and he was upset. But on the morning of the shooting, Curtis says that Robert had opted to stay home from school because he didn't have clean clothes to wear. After dropping off the other brothers at school, Curtis returned home to hear the sound of sirens at his apartment. And he says, my mom wasn't the type to go off the rail, noting that his mother called 911 following the shooting. He says, I'm convinced that it was an accident and that it wasn't intentional. While investigating the East Harry Street apartment shooting, police say detectives learned that Robert's mother had allegedly threatened her ex-husband and current girlfriend with a gun earlier in the year.
Son didn't know about the girlfriend.
Right. And Curtis says he didn't know anything about that.
Right.
So Tesha made her first appearance in court on October 15th at 2:30. But now Curtis says that since the shooting, he was kicked out of his apartment and is living in a hotel, and he grieves the loss of his brother while trying to keep his family together.
Wow.
He said his mom raised smart, strong Black men. She let us know who we are. I've always tried to be strong for my mom, and I am standing by her. He is trying to work to get her an attorney instead of having to have a public defender.
Yeah, he's probably messing up on that because a lot of times public defenders are actually better than cheap attorneys.
Mm-hmm. And he's set up a GoFundMe page to help his father, you know, and to raise his brothers.
But I mean, the cops believe she did it because of the girlfriend.
They don't know what to, I mean, that,
well,
that hasn't,
said.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What you said.
Yeah, that they, she had threatened them, yeah, or with the gun earlier, but in March. I mean, it wasn't
she's not sitting in jail for no reason.
No.
I hate that. You know, prayers to that young man, keep his family together, living in a hotel and all that. You know, it's just bad. And, you know, people do stupid shit all the time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess it'll come out in court what happened or what didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Hey, ladies, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now. It's in your food, your water, the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, your skincare products. They all mess with your hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes your body goes through, premenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore because now you have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone support and supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Well, my wife says it makes her feel like her own self again. And that's what women mention over and over in the reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC for 15% off today. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use code RLRC. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts to spark joy, wonder, delight, and that's exactly what I want it feeling. Hey, y'all, I ordered a super cool piece. It's a candle with a sculpture of LSU Tiger Stadium on top of it. And each officially licensed laser-cut wooden replica features up to four layers of detail, creating a bird's-eye view of a specific football field, seating section, and more. And every label includes your stadium's name, the team's logo, and school location. And it has a coconut, soy, vegan wax infused with sandalwood smell that creates tailgates and touchdown scent profile, reminiscent of game day. It's invigorating like fresh-cut grass and nostalgic like smoke from a pre-game grill. In common, like the crisp autumn air of a new semester on campus. Y'all, I love it. I have it at the base of my TV, and I'm ready to watch the Tigers play on Saturday night, right? Uncommon Goods. Look, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize. From holiday hosts and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from the book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selection you can just find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/RLRC. That's uncommongoods.com/RLRC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I don't know. You remember Gabby Petito?
I do.
I remember when it first happened and it came on. I don't even watch the news anymore. I remember we were watching it somewhere, and I said, "Oh, she's dead."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "She'd be dead
immediately."
She'd be dead.
Yes.
And of course, it came out that later on that she was dead, and all that shit that happened, and the manhunt, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you about another winter chicken dinner. There's this lady, Madeline Kingsbury. She's 26. She was found dead in a heavily wooded area in June of 2023, a little over a month after her disappearance. And she was a mother of two.
Goodness.
Right? Now, her ex-boyfriend, who said the Minnesota mother of two would end up like Gabby Petito.
Oh.
Prior to her being found dead in 2023, he's been convicted of murdering her, y'all. So, Adam Fravel, 30, was found guilty of two counts of first-degree murder and two counts of second-degree murder on Thursday, November the 7th, in connection with the death of the 26-year-old victim, right?
Right.
And the verdict came 10 hours after the jury began deliberations following a month-long trial. That's according to the Star Tribune. Of course, he faces life in prison, and now he's going to be sentenced on December 17th. But let me tell you what happened, all right? So Kingsbury, the victim, went missing under suspicious circumstances on the morning of March the 31st of 2023 after dropping the couple's two children off at daycare.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Fravel denied any involvement in her disappearance. And in a statement to ABC News, he said, "I want the mother of my 5-year-old and 2-year-old to be found and brought home safely. I want that more than anything." My motherfucker. So Kingsbury's remains were later found on June the 7th in that heavily wooded area off of Highway 43 near Mayville, Minnesota, which is in Fillmore County. Now, Fravel was arrested the same day on a probable cause and charged 2 days later, right? So, according to the criminal complaint, Kingsbury was found near a rural property owned by Fravel's parents. Her body was wrapped in a gray fitted bed sheet that came from their home. The medical examiner testified during the trial that Kingsbury likely died of asphyxia, strangulation, y'all, referenced a towel that was wrapped around her neck and covered half of her face. And the criminal complaint said that Fravel told police he and Kingsbury were newly separated and in the process of moving out of their home that they shared with their children after 7 years of an off and on relationship. And in interviews with the police, Fravel referenced another prominent case of a missing woman, Gabby Petito. Fravel admitted to being infatuated with the Gabby Petito case. He also admitted that he made a statement to Madeline about her ending up like Gabby Petito. And the complaint is referenced in the 22-year-old Petito who was strangled to death by her fiance, Brian Laundry, in August of 2021. And Fravel later on says, "Oh, I was just only making a joke about it," right? But friends and family who testified in court told about an instance of domestic abuse in September 2021 when Fravel put his hand around Kingsbury's neck and pushed her. The defense argued there was no history of abuse and no indications of struggle at the crime scene. The Fravel's attorney, Zachary Bauer, said he was disappointed at the outcome, referring to the guilty verdict.
Yeah.
I bet you were, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I worked with a lot of defense attorneys over the years, and, you know, I do what I do on the consulting side, and I'm like, you better plead this motherfucker out because they're guilty as fuck.
Yeah.
And you know, the defense attorneys, dude, they go fight to the last breath. And when it comes down, a lot of my friends, the defense attorneys, are like, that motherfucker is guilty as fuck.
I just don't understand how they defend when they know they're guilty. Everybody, but why would you choose to be that?
Everybody has a right to the defense, but they don't tell them, they don't ask them, are you guilty? Or they do if they want to take a plea bargain.
Yeah.
You know? But the swab, Woody Upton comes in, I look at the case, I'm like, this motherfucker guilty as fuck. You better tell him to plea out because he's going to get life, right?
I guess what I'm saying is once they know that they're guilty, like once Woody Overton goes in there or once they know, I would be like, I can't work your case anymore.
Well, sometimes that does happen. but it's just defense attorneys are there for a reason, okay? And good, bad, or indifferent. But so back to the story, Kingsbury's loved one spoke out in court with her dad saying after the verdict, it's a pirate victory, and we're not going to get Madeline back. Fravel can't be punished enough. And the victim's brother, Stephen, said, at the end of the day, you have to trust the process. The truth kind of rises to the top, and the evidence, it always comes out.
Right? Yeah.
Y'all, look, if you're with somebody and they've choked you once or punched you in the face once or whatever, they're going to fucking do it again. You're a victim of domestic violence, and then they're going to make it up to you. I always call it the circle. They're going to make it gets to that point where they beat on you or do whatever they do. And then days later, they come back and I'm so sorry. I'll be better and all that. And everything, you have a honeymoon period until it gets back better again. And then it happens. The sugar turns to shit and happens again. So if you are experiencing domestic violence, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. All calls are toll-free and confidential, and the hotline is available 24/7 in more than 170 languages.
Yeah.
Y'all, call them before a detective like me has to come work your murder.
And you've had so many cases so that you've gone.
I used to tell them, hey, one day, because a lot of times before they changed the law, they would always arrest my fucker, take him to jail, and then they end up bonding him out or dropping the charges, not showing up for court. But then the state of Louisiana, I think it was like 2003 or 4, changed that. The DAs were tired of it. And they got the law changed, like, fuck you. He went to jail, and we have the proof, and we have the evidence. We don't need you. We'll press the charges.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it's still, people get murdered every day by their significant others, and this motherfucker is exactly where he needs to be.
So, yeah.
Right. Well, that's it for him. Fuck him.
Yeah. F him.
All right. Let's do a segment of
Worldwide Crime.
All right. This is exciting.
All right. Tell us about it. Send the Worldwide Crime.
We're going to Wiltshire, England.
Wiltshire, England. Across the pond.
Yes. So in April of 2015, Victoria Sillars was believed to have been dead after a 4,000-foot jump at a skydiving center known as the Army Parachute Association in Wiltshire, England.
Okay.
So first responders and a body bag were waiting for her on the ground at Netheravon Airfield.
Wait a minute. How did they get there before she got dead?
After her parachute and reserve failed, citing authorities. So she jumps out of the airplane.
I totally get it. She's obviously up in an airplane, but you fall at, like, I think it's 125 miles an hour. That's the fastest you fall, whatever that speed is. You can't drop anything. It all falls at the same rate. If I drop my phone and a penny, they're going to hit the ground at the same time.
Yes.
That always tripped me out.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is this lady is up. She jumps, and obviously they see her shoot and stuff doesn't open, but you're telling me the cops and paramedics got there before she hit the fucking ground?
Uh-huh.
Maybe she must have been jumping on top of a paramedic house.
Thank you, Miss Becky Record, for teaching Woody that.
Yes, Miss Becky. My favorite teacher.
I'm just telling you what I read, okay? I'm telling you a story, and this is based off of the information.
That's the fastest response. England must have some fast ass.
Well, they're
at
the Army parachute place, so maybe the armies have first responders.
Maybe so. Yeah. Got to be some kind of logic to it.
So an experienced skydiver instructor, Victoria, miraculously survived. Authorities believe it was due to her small frame. But was left with serious...
She lived?
She lived!
4,000... I don't think you jump 4,000 feet. I think you freeze to death.
Well,
okay, anyway, go ahead.
She was left with serious injuries when she landed. And it was a recently plowed field.
The dirt, soft dirt might have helped her a little bit.
So...
I mean, you're falling 100 and some miles an hour.
Oh, I wasn't thinking plowed. I was just thinking cut. Yeah. I was thinking if she landed on some grass, maybe that might help her. But
freshly tilled means that there's no grass.
Plowed, yes.
Yeah, plowed means there's something tilled and plowed.
So the 41-year-old suffered a broken spine, fractured ribs, and pelvis.
Jeez.
Years later, Victoria spoke of her survival in a documentary. I think it was a mix of things, Victoria said, according to an October 24 story published in The Independent. It was a combination of luck and trying to slow it down as much as I could. I guess because she was an instructor. So, but
there's only so much you can do.
Exactly. So, was it actually an accident? The chute and the reserve not opening.
I know, but you know what? In the U.S. Army, when you're airborne, you got to go to school. It's long, like a week long. It's pretty rigorous, all the running, whatever. And they teach you jumping and how the pack shoots and all that. Well, here's the deal. You know how they stop that shit? You pack and shoots, right? And everybody's packing shoots and they mix them all the fuck up. And that's the truth.
That's smart. Like, yeah.
If you don't take that shit serious,
yeah,
then you might be the one. You go ahead and want to play a fucking joke.
Yeah.
You might be the one that gets that.
That's right. So following Victoria's near fatal fall, the Army Parachute Association quickly suspected that there was foul play and contacted police. An investigation led police to zero in on Victoria's Army Sergeant husband, Emil Sillars. The two, who both served in the British Army, met in 2010 and married the next year. Then went on to have two children together. But as time went on, Emil's dark side was revealed. So authorities say Emil twice attempted to kill his wife less than a week before the skydiving situation.
Is she still skydiving with him?
I know. Right? I don't think she thought that he was trying.
Well, but maybe she didn't know about the attempted killings. Maybe he was trying to hire somebody or something.
Well, the first one,
I'm pretty sure if you try to kill me two times on a week, I ain't getting a fucking airplane with you.
Right? So he started with orchestrating a gas leak in the couple's home.
Yeah.
So I guess that was kind of elusive, and you know, she couldn't prove. Well, right. I don't know. She might not have thought. So the judge is like, well, why would he try to kill his wife? Does he want money? Is there another woman? Yeah. Is it ego? Because his wife ranked higher than him. And so, or was it a combination of all three things? Yeah. So the court judge presiding over Emil's trial said his motive was the insurance policy that he would receive upon his wife's death, making way for him to pursue a relationship with another woman.
Combination.
The judge also said Emil believed that his wife's status was a higher ranking officer would threaten his own army career.
Hat trick.
And he said that the policy totaled $155,000, which is
Euros.
I'm sorry. That's not enough for me to kill any $155,000?
No.
So Emil
was, how much would it take?
My life. I would probably kill myself before I killed somebody else.
Okay, I was specifically talking about me.
I would never kill you. If I haven't yet, it's never gonna happen.
I know you want to.
How much would it take you to kill me?
There's not a monetary amount. I just kill you.
Buddy, that's the wrong answer. The next thing you're going to say is you're going to be the next Gabby Petito.
Yeah. No, I can tell you, if I was going to do it, you'd never know about it. But I wouldn't do it. You know. Or you don't.
Okay, but it's on air.
That's plausible liability. How stupid would I have to be to go on air and say, hey, you know what? I'm just fucking around because if something happens to you, I don't want. And they're going to look at me first, but I'm going to be very distraught if something happens to you.
Very distraught.
Yes, like ruined.
Distraught.
Well, I mean, that's fucking, what else you want me to say? Sad, distraught, is ruined. That's all the same thing. All right, go back to the story.
Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90. It's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater in heather gray. And I'm telling you,
These are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Gobble. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. Their meal kits include everything you need so you can save time at the store or just skip that trip entirely. I got the box in and I had three different meals. I had a Kung Pao chicken, crispy fish tacos, and a beef bourguignon, however you say it. But let me tell you about the classic beef bourguignon. Look, it came with beef pot roast and a beef broth concentrate, red wine demi-glace, cremini mushrooms, cipollone onions, mashed potatoes, baby carrots, and rosemary thyme butter. It was so easy to make. Literally like 15 minutes it took Cindy. And let me tell you something, all the dishes were fire. But this thing was like a taste explosion in my mouth. It's just unreal. We've got to spend more time together and more time doing the things we love because everything came in this one single box right to my door. So see what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. You get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. And let me tell you, those cookies, I ate one that was sin-baked and it was delicious. Go to gobble.com/real life. That's gobble.com/real life for $120 off your first four boxes. This offer is not available on the home site, so don't miss out. This is genius. It's taste explosions in your mouth like you never had.
Emil was ultimately found guilty on two counts of attempted murder in May 2018 and later sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 18 years to be served. Because she didn't die. He only gets 18 years.
She got all fucked up.
I know. Yeah. I mean, she's... So at his sentencing hearing, he was described by the judge as someone who was of quite exceptional callousness and a person who would stop at nothing to gratify his own desires.
Never admitted to anything. Then. Wow. That's a fucking really, really good
worldwide crime.
Really? I mean, that was an interesting story.
Yeah. Right? Very interesting story.
Note to self, don't go skydiving with Cindy.
But, yeah. We wanted to do that last year for Christmas, like as a family thing.
Fuck that. Not doing it. So there'll never be any excuse. Like if I end up, I don't know how, it's a miracle that woman lived, right?
I know. But to all of our listeners, there's no more love between a husband and a wife than the love sitting in this room. So I do not.
I'll say I'll mush your shit like that.
But could you just say ditto?
Yeah, ditto.
Okay.
All right. So, you know. I think, was it yesterday's story you did about Tito's Pizza or whatever the fuck?
Yes, it was yesterday.
In Wisconsin, where they got high and shit? Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to Wisconsin. In another place that I have actually seen the signs for, the Kenosha Police Department said a 13-year-old who made searches related, this is a good story, y'all, related to school shootings, was captured on video with a rifle, right? And staff at a Wisconsin elementary school are being praised for their efforts to protect students after they prevented the suspicious teenager from entering the elementary school.
Wow.
With a rifle.
Yeah.
Right? So the Kenosha Police Department Chief Patrick Patton shared during a press conference that the 13-year-old suspect was intercepted by school staff members when he tried to enter the Roosevelt Elementary School on the morning of Thursday, November the 7th, before he
ran like a little bitch.
So a photo of the teenage suspect shared by police showed the boy dressed in a black hoodie with a black hat, carrying what police said, or they described it as, two suspicious bags, including a large backpack and what appeared to be another large duffel bag. And he's trying to get into school, y'all, right? And they're like, fuck you, you can't come in. And then she says, we can confirm that we received at least one video depicting the suspect holding a illegal firearm. And the video shows the suspect walking with what we believe to be a rifle, practicing practicing techniques, y'all, to shoot. He also says, we also have information that the suspect performed multiple internet searches related to school shootings prior to the incident. Patton said that thanks to tips police received from the community, they were able to locate and arrest the suspect, who police said was a student with the Kenosha Unified School District system, which is a few blocks away from that elementary school. Now, police confirmed the arrest in an update on social media around 2:20 p.m. Said, we know that there were internet searches and all the red flags that we look for and expect someone to report were there. We narrowly missed a tragedy today. We're just going to re-encourage everybody when they see something, say something. Help us have those talks with your children, Chief added. Now, the Roosevelt Elementary School and the rest of the KUSD schools were placed on lockdown while police investigated the incident, and that's according to Kenosha Police Department. So the Kenosha Superintendent Jeff Weiss told CNN and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the team used one of the school's side entrances to get to a secure entryway. When the school staff approached him and questioned him, the boy then appeared to get nervous before running like a little bitch, but they said before fleeing the building into the neighborhood. They did not know in that exact moment what was happening, but their actions were heroic and prevented the unfathomable, Weiss said, calling the incident a potential school shooting, right? And then he's freaking right. Wisconsin State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley also shared a statement saying she was so thankful for the school staff in Kenosha for preventing a young person with a firearm from entering the school. Their quick actions protected students, ensured nobody was hurt. The threat of violence in our schools is real, and staff must prepare every day. And under the leadership of Superintendent Weiss, staff were well trained. They saved lives today, and I am so grateful for them. That's what she said. You know what? I am so grateful for them also.
That's amazing.
That is, yeah.
Yes.
I go back to dating myself before you ever had a school shooting.
Columbine.
And we went from on SWAT team from responding to the scene, surrounding the location, calling in the hostage negotiators and doing all that shit. But after Columbine, we had changed the way of thinking because the world changes. And I will never forget the first training we did was on an actual school here in Livingston Parish, but the kids were out.
Yeah.
But you knew you were responding to an active shooter,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you got there, so all your training, all your years before, mm-hmm. you were supposed to get there and set up on perimeter. And not only SWAT, everybody would respond.
Mm-hmm.
And all the responding units would get there, do the circle, right? And then as a SWAT team, because it takes a while for you to get there, you got to get called out and get your shit on and meet and teams deploy.
Right.
You would relieve the uniform guys. And say you pull back now, we'll put a sniper or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But it totally went against the grain
of right.
everything we had been trained. And so you get there, and you get out of your vehicle, and we had semi-munitions, which is you using your real firearm. And it has, they're not blanks. They shoot you at, and it fires and as loud as your real firearm is. And you get hit with that motherfucker, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it leaves a paint mark. It's not paintballs. It's real round.
Right.
Fire. It's a real weapon.
Yeah.
And so you get to this big ass school and you get dispatched 911 active school shooter at whatever elementary school. And you get there and this is a fucking massive complex. And now your training is the total reverse of everything it is run to the, towards the sound of the shooting and eliminate the threat.
Yeah.
And you going in, you may be by yourself.
Yeah.
And you're going in and you're hearing the gunshots and you're hearing screams and you got to run in. You got to have some fucking nuts, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what you get paid to do. You run in and you said, look, they have people, actors, you know, people that are like teachers running across and whatever. And you got to not shoot them.
Right. You're
trying to respond to the thing. Now, at the same time, they were, and I won't tell you the things that they do. They implemented a bunch of safety things for the teachers.
I know those.
I know. I mean, we're not going to tell
no.
what they are. This fucking school shooter.
Right.
Where they would do certain things mm-hmm. when it happened automatically. And certain things could be communicated to law enforcement outside mm-hmm. the rooms that this room is safe or whatever.
Right.
But you ain't worried about that. At that time, you going to kill this motherfucker.
Yes. And, you as the police officers, we as the teachers had our own things that I'm not saying that. We had our own things that we did in the classroom.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And then, but when you go and eliminate what you think is the threat,
right.
You don't know that that's the only threat.
Right.
So then you have to go back and check every single thing. And that's where, you know, I guess it's just a lot of shit, and they have improved upon it. But these fucking school shootings keep happening.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Kenosha yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, would have been the next one.
Right.
And thank God for the training and thank God for the, you know, all that.
Say something.
And this dude, you know, they hadn't said it yet, but because it's been too recent. And of course, recording this a day early, but this could come back. I mean, they saw him with a rifle.
Right.
Practicing rudimentary techniques, meaning like he's taking corners and shit mm-hmm. and the internet searches and, you know, those bags when they arrest them, they're going to find them. And I bet you they were full of ammunition
yep.
and a rifle.
Yeah.
And we could have killed
so many people. One would have been too many, but
yeah. And so there you have it. Heroes, because they turned them away. And he ran like a little bitch.
He is a hero.
And thank God he ran like a little bitch. That's a good run like a little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's it. We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in and liking and listening and sharing. And thank you for all the positive responses that y'all are doing on social media for True Crime Time 4. And this is Taco Tuesday, right?
Yes, it is.
And, I love y'all and thank you.
Thank you.
And until next time, I'm Woody Overton.
I'm Cindy Overton.
And we'll holler at y'all later. Peace.
Peace.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.